Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to you all. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of drinks on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's drool, what's poo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world so very cringe, it seems that insanity is on a binge. A world so far up its own arse, the mainstream media is a pathetic farce. And the false narratives are no longer sticking. The only believers are weirdos who are acid tripping. And defending criminals has become fashionable. The erosion of intellect is loud and palpable. And all because the perceptual engineers attacked our minds with their propaganda shears. Oh, human race, oh, hubris of man. We lost our grace. We ignored the plan. Will we like the way this story ends? Will mankind ascend? Will the bad guys make amends, or will they spin their shit until the end? Welcome back, Martini Heads. Today is April the 15th, 2026, CE, Chaos Era. And my darlings, this is the last Metaphysical Martini podcast for the foreseeable future. We started this show back in 2019 as a question and answer format to find out what troubled the minds of we the people of the USA. And for about 6 years now, we have been on many adventures together. We have consumed a great many cocktails together. We have cried together. We have ranted together. We have prayed and meditated together, and all for one purpose, to learn what it means to let the spirit inhabit the human. Who are we? And why did we create these physical realms as cosmic playgrounds for our souls? If we came from perfection, what is the purpose of polluting that perfection and creating worlds where we lose our way and cause chaos? Do we do it just to prove to ourselves that no matter where we go, no matter how far from source we think we may have traveled? Did we do it to prove that once we remember our true nature, all will revert to perfection? These and many points we have pondered over the years together, and I would be lying. I would be lying if I said I wasn't feeling a touch of sadness today. You know, the end of a very pleasurable few years of podcasting with Cosmic Reality Radio. But, you know, it's not all lost, quite the contrary. I mean, yes, this is the last Martini show. Oh my God. Well, for now anyway. But our world is changing and we are moving on to smaller but better things. In May, I will start a new series of podcasts, Cosmic Conundrums, and those will be the replacement to Metaphysical Martini. We will still sort out the problems of the universe together, but in a shorter and tighter format, probably maxing out around 40 minutes per poddy. And we will also start up Points to Ponder Over Happy Hour, which will be a series of short, under 5 minute podcasts set in a bar, my favorite place, at Happy Hour, where my martini heads can continue being martini heads and enjoy cosmic co-creation with cosmic cocktails in hand. In fact, let me have a little sip. A little sip of my drinky poo. Ooh, that is just perfection itself. To celebrate the past 6 years of Metaphysical Martini, I thought we could revisit all the different segments we've enjoyed over the years. Plato Chips, which was our philosophy corner, The Wizard's Gizzard, where we review useful spiritual practices, and our cryptic mystic segment, where we take a peek at saints and sinners, and also our American history and civics corner, more important now than ever before. We'll visit Tarot a Go-Go, where we have a little shenanigana with the major arcana. And of course, our poetry segment, where I, Ani, Mad Shaman Abedissian, torment you, the listener, with my homespun fun. But let's start, as we always do, with Quack, questions, answers, and comments. If you would like to share the corridors of your minds with the martini heads across the known universe, send your questions to me, Cosmic Ani, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I will be forced to refer to you as Omit Personal Details. But Ani, this is the last martini. Why would we continue writing to you? Because it may be the last martini, but it's not my last podcast. You are welcome to send in your questions and comments to my P.O. box for inclusion in Cosmic Conundrums or for points to ponder over happy hour. Because darlings, once a martini head, always a martini head. Cosmic cocktails will forever be part of all my poddies, and even though I'm drinking much less as I get older, a well-mixed cocktail will always be a point of interest to me. And speaking of martinis, let me have a little serious sip of today's drinky poo to see if it's a sinner or a winner. Hold on, darlings, don't go away. Sipping is happening. That lovely aroma. Perfect mouthfeel, perfect level of chilledness. Oh my gosh, that is delightful. And we'll talk more about that towards the end of the show. But let's go ahead and shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, 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 shaky. Okay, today's first missive is from Flora, who is a first-year theology student. Yeah, I think I was one of those once. Your first year will be formative, Flora. Keep an open mind, and don't be in a hurry to search for the truth of all things, because you won't find it in theology. But somewhere along the line, if you truly have the courage to open your heart to the allness, you will find the golden key that opens all doors. Flora has written me what appears to be a preamble to her PhD dissertation. She seems to think it is sexist to forbid women from entering certain places of worship, such as Mount Athos. But she also thinks it is sexist that certain converts forbid men from entering. And I get the impression here she believes it would be better if all religious institutions were co-ed. What do I have to say about that? Flora, I think you're missing the point, darling. Monasteries and convents are places of prayerful contemplation. And prayerful contemplation requires peace and quiet. And I think we've learned by now that if you mix men and women, the end result is children. And where there are families with children, there is no peace. That is the only reason. It is not sexist. It is not an outdated or old-fashioned idea. It is done to maintain focus, to minimize distraction. That's all. Man, woman, child, family, noise, no peace. That's all there is to it, Flora. You might want to lose some of this juvenile wokeness that you are writing about here in this letter to me. None of this seems to come from your own mind. What I'm reading here is what every pink and blue-haired person is spouting these days as they show up to these paid-for demonstrations. Darling, if you're going to study theology, let's start with the no judgment thing, and let's start by investigating what the ego is and isn't. Because really, the whole point of life is to see things through the eyes of God. Okay, let's take another email here, and this is from Harper in New York, New York. Dear Arnie, was the Hungarian election stolen? Because Harper says clearly no way Orban lost the vote. I'm sure it's a globalist steal, and the globalists must be mightily peeved that we the people are waking up in droves. Yeah, no way would the people of Hungary have voted against safe streets and safe neighborhoods and, you know, the dilution of their culture. No way did they vote to be replaced by third world inbreds who think raping children is a God-given right. Everything the white hats are doing now, all over the world, it means nothing if we don't sort out the election fraud. The left in the USA and in some parts of Europe have admitted to bringing in illegal aliens, criminals, because they did not think they could win another election without importing the dregs of another country. And as an American, I am done with my country being used as a money laundering operation. I am done with anyone wanting to impose their culture, replace my culture with theirs. I am aghast, aghast, I tell you, that Americans have not taken to the streets to demand the removal of these scumbags. Our tax dollars are being used to buy votes from criminals who entered the country illegally. So even if they haven't committed any crimes, they committed a crime by entering the country illegally. So anybody who entered the country illegally is a criminal. Why are these people walking? They should be in prison. They should be ashamed and afraid to walk down the street, lest they meet an American whose hard-earned money they stole. Why isn't there more outrage? The average American is drowning in debt just to get by, to pay rent, to buy food, to keep up with utilities, while these inbreds are driving around in luxury cars and funneling money out of the country to other countries who chant death to America. This isn't rocket science, people. You don't want people coming into your country who hate you. I call for zero tolerance when it comes to our enemies. To those who wish to destroy America from within by coming here and insisting we follow their pedophile prophet, you have no idea how horribly your plan will fail. You've had very little resistance thus far, as you came here quietly and lied your way into the welfare state, gaining a foothold amongst the corrupt, building your mosques. But I have news for you. Americans may have come to their awakening late, but once the silent majority speaks at one, and we will speak as one, it will be an almighty roar, and we will not tolerate your presence on our land. We will not share this sacred land with people who think it's okay to sexually penetrate young girls, to dress boys up as girls and sodomize them, to treat women as cattle, and to insist on Sharia law. There is no place for that shit here in America, and I and millions of others will fight to the death to make sure you are removed by whatever means necessary. Martini heads believe America has a sacred purpose in mankind's awakening. We're not going to stand back and see what happens. We will not allow our country to be populated by millions of inbred retards drinking the highly corrupt welfare state dry. Look at what these people have done to the UK and to Ireland. It's population replacement, which, by the way, we've been talking about for the better part of 40, 50 years. But did you listen? No. So enough is enough. We outnumber the police and the army. And I know that in the UK and Ireland, your arms are limited. But here in the USA, we are heavily armed. And if anyone comes for those arms, well, they will learn the wisdom of the founding fathers and they will find themselves in the ER or the nearest hospital. People of the world, listen up. Propaganda has made you docile and apathetic. There are so many narratives out there. You have no idea which are true. You have no idea which are half-truths and which are outright lies. AI is making you lazy. There are too many shortcuts, too many conveniences. You're accustomed to having answers handed to you on a plate, and you're all too willing to accept those answers as truths without engaging in further research. You know, stop it. Just stop it. Being a citizen is not a spectator sport. You have to engage. And perhaps this is a good time to announce the first segment that we're bringing back, the Wizard's Gizzard, a spiritual protocol that calms the ego's blizzards. You know, people, they listen to the news, which is propaganda, lies, distortions, and distractions. They then discuss these lies, distortions, and distractions with others as though they were truths and not false narratives. And what have we achieved? The box spews out shit talk, a And we spread the shit talk by talking shit with other clueless peons who have no idea how the world works. That is such a waste of energy. It is such a feast for the ego, and it is repeated billions of times each day. Noise, it's just noise. We have filled our world with noise. Perhaps we could take a step back and learn to be comfortable with silence. It's the only way to find out what we have stored away in our minds. Remember, we are not our minds. We are the consciousness that listens to the mind. Our minds are possessions. We need to keep them clean and tidy and uncluttered. I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, please find 20 minutes each day where you can be alone in silence. No company, no fidgety pets, no cell phone, no distractions. Just set your timer for 20 minutes and learn to breathe in and out slowly and purposefully for no other reason than to settle your energy. Now, your physical body will certainly benefit from the breath, but your energy anatomy, which is electrical, will thank you most heartily. Your chakras will recalibrate, the layers of your aura will relax and shake stuff out, your left and right brains will be in sync, your internal thermometer will go back to pilot light setting, and your pineal gland will shake off some of that calcification. 20 minutes each day is all it takes to get you thinking straight again. Think of each minute as $1 million, because that's how valuable daily breath work is. You don't even need a mantra, just sit comfortably. I am breathing out. I am breathing in. I am breathing in. I am breathing out. That's all you need. I am breathing in. I am breathing out. That's all you need to do. And while you're focused on breathing properly, using your diaphragm, relaxing your shoulders, the divine resets your energy through the breath. And when the timer goes off, give thanks, get up, and get on with your day. If you want a trouble-free life, you need to live in a calm, stable environment. And that starts with your own aura. If your aura is clean and stable, you can stand in the middle of a battlefield and nothing will touch you, because you will vibrate above the dangers of the world, and that makes you a powerful force for the light, cool and calm and collected, very collected, acting on good judgment, not acting on your feelings. And it will keep you sane. Don't give up. Don't let them weigh you down. You didn't come to Earth to be a bit player in someone else's story. An ascension such as this. We may never again have an incarnation at such a magical time. We're leading up a third and heading into the fourth, a realm where self-realization is the norm. The beginning of a journey into a higher state of consciousness. What challenges await us once we conquer the false ego mind programming? There are so many questions to be asked. Do the tenets of metaphysics apply to all vibrational frequencies? On self-realized realms, where there is no conflict within, one presumes there is no conflict without. So is it a peaceful society compared to us? So what helps us to grow then if we're always in peace? And how do we continue ascension all the way back into source? What am I rambling on about? Good question. I guess I'm saying that on this realm, our entire focus is on overcoming ego programming and beginning the path of self-realization. I am pondering on the nature of fourth dimensional challenges. What challenges us, and how do we grow once we've overcome the ego? I have no idea, but I guess we'll find out. So a little bit of breathing every day, people. That's all you need to do. I'm breathing in. I'm breathing out. And in the silence, all the rubbish that's in your head will sort itself out. And you will be able to differentiate between your ego's voice, your human voice, and the voice that is merging you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to Plato Chips, where we drop a note about a philosopher of note. And I thought long and hard about this, because there are many, many philosophers and many wannabe philosophers. I chose Terence McKenna today. He was born in Colorado, 1946, and he was raised on influential esoteric thinking along the lines of Carl Jung, I think is the best way to describe it. He was very interested in science fiction. He was very interested in the natural world. And as a teenager, he learned about psychedelics through reading, through literature. In particular, he wrote a book. He read a book by one Gordon Wasson. I don't know if it's a book, it's an article actually, Seeking the Magic Mushroom. That really interested him, the workings of the mind. So in 65, he attends UC Berkeley, driven by an interdisciplinary interest in psychedelics, shamanism, and ecology. Sounds like my kind of guy. And throughout college and throughout his gap years, he was just interested in anything metaphysical: Jewish mysticism, Tibetan shamanism, ancient Chinese stuff, the I Ching. And all the time he was reading and genuinely studying this stuff, he was experimenting with hallucinogenic substances. In 1970, he traveled to the Colombian Amazon forest with his brother Dennis, and they were in search of a plant containing DMT. And they ended up discovering vast pastures filled with something called the cubensis mushrooms. They were growing in cow dung. Now, and this shifted his gears significantly. He didn't know it at the time, but he was really about to get into the power of foraging mushrooms. That was going to be a big part of his legacy and his career. He'd never tried mushrooms before, but he quickly discovered their potential for mind expanding experiences. The experience wasn't as comparable to LSD as he thought. It was a very different buzz. He described the mushrooms as a transcendental doorway that opened up a connection to profound teachings, and the divine. So when he left Colombia, it was with a very different perspective. His spiritual experiences there, the teachings he gained from those mushrooms, they led him to pursue an interest in magic mushrooms with more fervor. If you want to read his books, The Archaic Revival is quite interesting. He wrote that in 91. It's a critique on modern society. Food of the Gods, 1992, is an interesting one. He writes a lot about mind-altering substances, their history, and how they've shaped the world. True Hallucinations is kind of fun. He wrote that in 93. It's more about his time with his brother in the Amazon forest, and all the things they learned about shamanism, etc. I really do think that he's worth a look at, and he's definitely worth reading about. I've done hallucinogenic stuff, LSD, and I've done some shrooms, and there's certainly a use for them when used properly and preferably under experienced supervision. I've seen a lot of mental health issues resolve because the shrooms have got people to a place where they could really experience vulnerability. It's not something for me. I don't need to do them again. I've done them, and I can achieve a great state of awareness just with breath meditation, to be honest. But for people who really want to be shown that there's life beyond their conditioning, yeah, mushrooms, psychedelics, these things used properly, I endorse them. For the right people at the right time, it's a very useful way to heal. So Terence McKenna, he's our Plato chips for today. A modern day philosopher that asked some really good questions, and he did all the work that was required. He wasn't just somebody who went out there and got stoned. He really wanted to know how these things could affect and help the mind, because our minds are our possessions. They're our most precious possessions. How we use them, that guides our life experience. And now we'll move on to the cryptic mystic, where we have our way with someone dead who liked to pray. And today's holy roller is none other than Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was born in January 1915 in France. He died in 1968 in Bangkok, Thailand. And he was a Roman Catholic monk and a poet and a prolific writer on spiritual and social themes. His best known work is The Seven Story Mountain. He wrote that in 1948. He was the son of a New Zealand-born father, Owen Merton, and a Quaker American-born mother, Ruth Jenkins. Both were artists living in France. He was baptized in the Church of England, but otherwise he didn't receive much religious education. He moved to the United States during World War I. His mother died, unfortunately, of stomach cancer a few years later in 1921. Merton was only 6 years old, and he lived with his father and his grandparents before he finally settled with his father in France in 1926. And then he went to England in 28. He went to boarding schools in England and France. He had a decent education. He spent a year at the University of Cambridge, but then he entered Columbia University in New York City, where he did his BAs and his MAs. He converted. I mean, he was an agnostic. Most people really are, actually. But Merton converted to Catholicism during his time at Columbia, and he began exploring the idea of entering religious life seriously. So he went back and forth to a few places. He looked at the Trappists, considered to be one of the most ascetic of the Roman Catholic monastic orders. But there he grew as a mystic, and he pursued imaginative spiritual quests. And he wrote many, many things. He took Louis as his, or Louis as his monastic name, and he was ordained a priest in 49, becoming Father Louis to the community at Gethsemane. I highly recommend you read The Seven Story Mountain. You could also read A Man in the Divided Sea and Figures for an Apocalypse. A few of his little quotes. I like the one that he wrote, Thoughts in Solitude. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. When you look at Merton, his early works were very, very strictly spiritual. But as he went into the 60s, towards the early 60s, he started to get involved in social activity, social criticism. He started to touch on civil rights. He wrote about nonviolence, pacifism. He wrote about the nuclear arms race. He had a great interest in the Eastern philosophy. In fact, he was, I would say, honored by Eastern philosophers for being the Christian that understood Eastern philosophy the best. In fact, it was during one of his trips to Asia where he was being honored for having more insight into Buddhism than any other Christian that the Dalai Lama had met, that he died. They say the official cause of death was listed as heart failure, although the most repeated explanation is that he was fatally electrocuted by a faulty wire, but no autopsy was performed. So we have no idea. But anyway, whatever happened, his heart gave up. He is buried at Gethsemane. And a really interesting writer. You can really follow his thought process. And many of my friends say to me, well, he regressed back into Catholicism. Sometimes as opposed to being a free thinker and whatever, but he was a free thinker. Sometimes the only way that people think they can have the silence is to join a holy order. That doesn't mean they believe in every single thing that holy order believes in. But there's something about having the luxury of being in silence, where you can hear things that the normal world blocks out. So Thomas Merton, go out there and read his Thoughts in Solitude. Read The Seven Story Mountain. And of course, you don't have to buy all these books if you don't know whether you're going to like them or not. Make your library get them for you. Let's keep the libraries alive and going. So, Thomas Merton. All right, my darlings, what should we move on to next? I thought we'd pick a card, a tarot card. I know a great many of you were very upset when I stopped Tarot a Go-Go. And it was an interesting decision, but half of you liked it, and half of you went, "Why are you doing Tarot a Go-Go? We're not interested in tarot." Well, you know what? Ultimately, I am. So I'm going to pick a card. I'm going to pick a card for America. I'm going to pick a card for America to see how all of this is going to end. And here we go. I'm shuffling. I'm cutting. And I'm putting the deck back together. And I'm going to pick one card. Oh, yes. And the card I picked is the World. The World is the last card in the major arcana. And it wraps everything up. It is the end of the line where we've done everything properly and the cycle ends. So that makes me very happy that the World, the ending card, the completion, and allowing us to move on into the new golden age of peace and prosperity is the card that we picked for America. And if that's the card we picked for America, then the world follows that. Because Donald Trump and his administration have taken American foreign policy out of the hands of the Israeli Mossad and its servant, the CIA. And now, going forward, American foreign policy will be American foreign policy. It will not be Israeli foreign policy or CIA foreign policy. Now, how wonderful is that? Now, my darlings, one of the segments I started later on was American history and civics, or also American history and civics. So I think I called it something different every time. For this segment today, I just have a very simple request to all American parents. Without a sense of patriotism and pride, a nation cannot flourish. For too long, the perceptual engineers have convinced Americans that their history is something to be ashamed of, not proud of. And this is utter nonsense because we should be proud of what we have achieved. Oh, that is a lovely drinky poo. They would have us believe that everything was peaceful in the American lands before the settlers arrived, that all the native tribes lived in peace, and that is not true. Internal fighting among the tribes was very much an ongoing thing. They would have us believe that we invented slavery, and that is not true. The biggest slave traders were and still are the Islamists, because they believe that anyone not of their faith is a lesser being to be disposed of any which way. We, America, sent the Marines to the halls of Montezuma and the shores of Tripoli to end the slave trade, as so many of our people were taken as slaves by the Islamists. The British engaged in slavery, yes, but they were also the ones to end it. Stop apologizing for being of European white ancestry. We settled this land and made something great out of it from scratch. We didn't come here after it was settled to take the fruits of someone else's labor. We were the labor. Along with all the slaves and indentured servants and cheap foreign labor working the land, we had tens of thousands of folks with small holdings, slowly turning the land into a country of small farms and farmers building legacy for future generations. And stop any shame you might have with regard to being descended from slaves. America has a sacred purpose to be a mosaic for the world, not a melting pot. We all had to get here somehow. Some came first class. And some came steerage, but we're all here now, and we all need to step off the plantation. The descendants of the slaves and the descendants of the slave owners, black and white, if you are still living in the past, you are not focused on success in the present. And if you're unfocused in the now, what hope is there for your future? Don't be tricked into pouring over old pains and old hurts. Let us stop allowing the establishment to keep us divided. Because the only reason they went woke, the only reason they did things like take gay pride and turn it into a pedo fest, the only reason they insist on keeping racism alive is because we were moving away from all of those issues. We were doing so much better with it. They fear black and white unity. They fear Asian black and white unity. They fear unity. So they keep ramping it up until we have quite honestly reached the realms of the ridiculous. I implore you, ladies and gentlemen, do not tolerate this insanity. Men are men, women are women. Are we all equal in the eyes of God? Yes. But equal does not mean we are the same. men in women's sports is the patriarchy stomping on the face of the feminine divine. How can people not see this? If it were any more obvious, it would roll itself into a tube and insert itself somewhere tight and dark. Why are liberals supporting the Iranian Islamist regime? Regime that hangs people for disagreeing with it, a regime that flogs people for showing hair and criminalizes the victims of rape instead of the rapist. Clearly, they are not liberals in the true sense of the word. They are paper protest extras, day players shouting from the sidelines, the realm of the ridiculous. Please, make sure your children are taught unbiased American history and are familiar with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Please take an avid interest in your child's education, because we have lost a whole generation to this woke bullshit. And that is one heck of a waste of an incarnation. Let's get back to having family dinners around the table where we all discuss what we did and help each other out processing the day. There is nothing wrong with a traditional family. And yes, there's room for all types of families here. But I really do think you need to understand that we have taken all of this too far. And it's not because gay people want more rights or whatever. Gay people only ever wanted not to be fired from their jobs for being gay. No gay person I know wants to be associated with people with gender dysphoria or with pedophiles, which we think is just basically a mental health issue that needs to be, you know, taken care of in secure surroundings. People, stop with this woke bullshit, okay? They're only doing it because we were all beginning to get along. Make sure your children are learning American history. Make sure they're proud to be Americans, and make sure that they understand the Constitution of the United States, because it is pivotal. If they understood it, they wouldn't show up to a No Kings protest, would they? Because that was the whole point of the Constitution. No Kings. And now, my darlings, it's time for a tiny pat of poetry. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, and having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky poo, and writing amazing non-peer-reviewed poetry. And by the way, darlings, if you enjoy my poetry, please visit me on substack.com or go to my website, aniavadisian.com. There is a direct link to my Substack on the homepage. I write poetry primarily to entertain. But if you read more into my words, thank you. Here's one I wrote about sitting and looking out of my window. I live in one of those apartment complexes, one up, one down. They're not very tall buildings, but there's acres of them and they all look the same. Once in a while, I just look out the window and take a deep breath and make up little stories about the people around me. So here's one of those. The chap across the road is quite a chubby lad. We don't know what he does, but we suspect it's AutoCAD. We also have a hunch, but it might just be hot air, that he is what the gay men call a very hairy bear. Then there's the Indian couple and their well-maintained Impala. The woman is a snotty bitch, not my blend of masala. All in all, the man seems chill, though his wife is quite the pill. The thought of sleeping next to her, well, it makes me ill. We lost a pair of patriots who lived just to our left. They bought a house because paying rent made them so depressed. I miss our chats on shotguns and green dot versus red. I miss talking with people who are normal in the head. There used to be a skinny guy who stood outside to smoke. He looked so pale and itchy, I think he may have croaked. And what happened to the Russian guy? I think his name was Yuri. I used to think he was a spy sent to end me prematurely. Across the way, to the right and near the gazebo, lived Large Marge and Olive Oil and their dog, Placebo. One fine day they disappeared. just like that kaboom. Where they went, no one knows. No note, no sonic boom. For 20 years, I've sat and stared out of my office window. I've watched the world and tried to learn its customs and its lingo. I can feel the terror in both the lowborn and the high. Some days, I can help folks. Some days, I drink rye. You know, I've been a counselor for decades now. I don't really know what to say after that. Sometimes the weight of your words can make dry land. And sometimes people don't want dry land, they just want you to watch them drown. And that gives them a strange sense of satisfaction. That's really fucked up, isn't it? So, here's another one I wrote about generally people being silly. I think I wrote this when I had a conversation with some 17-year-olds. And I thought to myself, these are some of the stupidest people I have ever met in my life. How did that happen? Warning, do not insert tube in rectum. Caution, battery acid must not be ingested. With so many minds now on the spectrum, where's the normal against which we are tested? It's because we stopped teaching them classics. It's because we don't teach our children chess. We went gaga with pixels and graphics. We got lazy and threw out the rest. I mean, yes, it is the human mind that created the computer. And it is the human mind that created the AI. But now we're giving the AI to everyone to use. And they've become very, very lazy. Now they're beginning to believe whatever the AI says, in the same way as they believed everything the media says. Sovereignty is the key word for ascension. And sovereignty means you think for yourself. Sovereignty means you align with whatever you feel the source force is. Stop believing everything that you're told, people. Doesn't matter whether it's artificial intelligence or not artificial intelligence. Everybody has an agenda. And you know why? Because they all have egos. And those egos keep everyone small and frightened. Which is why self-realization is the only option. To transcend the programming of the ego and step into the true ego, which is the self that presents itself when the spirit has inhabited the human. How do we describe God? How do you make sense of something so vast? Well, we don't really, but that isn't going to stop us from pondering it, is it? There exists a supreme cosmic intelligence. We don't have the awareness to define it. Instead, we write stories and create false precedents and pass it off as sacred holy writ. What a load of shit. I believe this intelligence is magnificent beyond words, but not represented by men in dresses, be they imams or papists, and certainly not by those who follow the illiterate warlord of Turd who bonked his soldiers and very young girls. That's a rapist. That's the Dark Lord's playlist. Religion has nothing constructive to offer God. It's a bunch of side quests and dead ends to keep us distracted and weak and awed. It's a payment plan with no tangible dividends. Believe what you wish, my friends. One religion believes it is the last and the greatest, and that all must submit or choose to die. Those are the words of perverts and of sadists whose mental health is two apples short of a pie. Comply? Oh no, I prefer to watch them cry. Back and forth between icons and relics, scriptures and canons and untouchable lies, I'll find room for a way to bypass the clerics, for the truth for so long was disguised as a fake spiritual franchise. Religion, you see, is far too small and tiny to contain the wonder of cosmic creation. Why worship a prophet when you have the Almighty? Why delay the path to what you think is salvation? Why the hesitation? Perhaps your minds have been royally blurred, and perhaps that was done with intention. In the beginning was one silent word, and we chose madness to be its extension. I do hope we make the ascension. You know, people, we are here to represent God, not worship God, because worship is for the ego, and God doesn't have one. Well, my darlings, I guess that's it for today's show, which is also the last Metaphysical Martini podcast for the foreseeable future. But Martini heads, fear not. I will be back in late May with Cosmic Conundrums and Points to Ponder Over Happy Hour, two new podcasts, much shorter and with more focus. I want to thank my producer, Nancy Hopkins, for all her support and guidance over the years and for suggesting podcasting. It has been quite the trip, and I hope it continues to be for many more years to come. And many thanks to Derek Conduit of Mystical Wares, who kindly arranged the show's distribution throughout the known universe all of these years. Derek, I know you're about to set off on a new adventure, and I wish you very well with that. And to all my martini heads, to all my martini heads, we are still martini heads, and we will continue to share cocktails together on the upcoming shows. I intend to grow the martini head base, not diminish it, so stay tuned for new fun just around the corner. I appreciate your support over the years more than I can say, and I can say a lot. Today's real-life cocktail is the perfect drinky-poo for, for ending our series. Oh my God, I'm getting sad and sentimental. It's a classic gin-based martini, and here's how you make it. Three parts gin, and I use Bombay London Dry. You have a choice of gins out there. Gin is really fashionable, but for a martini, I just like a well-priced, clean, dry. Bombay London Dry is my go-to, although I also use Beefeater from time to time. Three parts of that gin, and then one part dry vermouth. Now, I'm using Dolin today, but sometimes when I want a brighter martini, I will use the actual martini vermouth, which is a lot brighter. I mean, not all vermouths are created equal. You need to test them. You know what I mean? And I like a little bit of dirty. I don't like a lot of dirty. So I'm putting in no more than half a dropper full of dirty mix. So I'm pouring my ingredients, my three parts gin, my one part dry vermouth, and my dirty mix into a shaker with ice, and I'm shaking well. Now, some people prefer their martinis stirred, and that's fine. A martini lends itself to a good stir. But I want a more integrated texture today. So I'm shaking well, about 30 seconds, until it's really well chilled and really well integrated. And then I pour it into a chilled martini glass. It is elegant. It is simple. It has no fancy frills or pretense of grandeur, just a clean, honest drink to enjoy after a hard day's work. Now, remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use the best ingredients you can afford and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. I'm Ani Abadissian, mad as the day is long. This was the final Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Until we meet again, and we will, no matter what happens next, do not comply. If someone comes for your guns, show them what the guns are for. Do not tolerate fraud and corruption at local, state, or federal level. And if you want to have a decent life, if you want to vibrate above the disease and discomfort of this realm, you can do it by letting the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Abadissian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.